I'm Sabrina Petrofessa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls.
Yay!
Today we're talking about Jessica Jones. Our first female-led... No, second female-led superhero thing. I don't know why I said first.
Third?
Agent Carter is a thing. Third.
Because Sky kind of leads agents.
No, that doesn't count. That's an ensemble cast.
Okay.
That's, like, of my opinion of agents is that it's an ensemble cast.
So, yeah, second after Agent Carter.
Yeah. Marvel's Jessica Jones came out November 20th, 2015. I totally binged that whole season on that day. And it's created by Melissa Rosenberg. And thank you, Melissa Rosenberg, for giving us this amazing piece of quality content.
It was good. I had no idea Jessica Jones existed until probably the show The Defenders came out, or the second season came out of Jessica Jones. I didn't pay attention to the Netflix shows. So this past week was my first time watching it, and it was a good time. It was good.
So sad.
I didn't skip around the same way I did Daredevil. But
no.
I didn't skip around episodes the same way to Daredevil, but in the last few seasons, because I was, like, cramming for this test, aka this final, I started skimming stuff that didn't seem 100% pertinent. And then I accidentally skimmed over some pertinent stuff.
Sort of pertinent. I mean, like, you might have just figured out what's happening, but we'll see. But season one is about Jessica dealing with her abuser, who is Kilgrave. She is off, she has been separated from him for about a year, and she was under the impression that he was dead. And then she finds out that he's not dead through a young girl who went missing, and her parents come to her because she's a PI and say, "Our daughter is missing. Can you find her?" And she realizes that everything that's going on with that daughter, who is Hope Schlottman, is exactly what Kilgrave did with her.
Yes. And Kilgrave isn't any... Not that I guess there's a normal abductor and serial
abuser,
but he is a special abductor and serial abuser because he has superpowers. Much like Jessica has superpowers. It's Marvel. Don't be
surprised.
Everyone
has superpowers. Yeah. His thing is that if he tells you to do something, you will do it.
Mind control. Verbal mind control.
Yeah. Also, trigger warning for anyone. We may or may not get into conversations around rape and rape culture and things like that. So if that is not something that you want to listen to, maybe skip this episode because it's very pertinent to this show. It's always kind of there on the back burner, and sometimes it comes to the forefront.
Yeah. Which is honestly why I skipped this show once I heard about what it was, because that's just something I don't really am comfortable seeing, so that's why I skipped the entirety of Jessica Jones.
But the thing about Jessica Jones is that it was created by a woman. It is very much a woman's story, and the woman who created it was very much like, listen, you don't need to see it to know what happened.
Yeah, I will say it's not graphic. It's not gratuitous. We'll go with that one. There's nothing about Jessica Jones that's gratuitous.
No. It's mostly like it's spoken about, but never shown.
Right.
Which is one of the, like, few times in television and film where it's totally okay to tell us and not show us.
Yeah.
And also, our rewatching / watching of this came at a very timely moment in our U.S. politics.
Yeah, that was unfortunate timing.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Here we are. Brett Kavanaugh has currently been approved to be on the Supreme Court.
He was sworn in. They did this all in one day. He was approved, voted in, sworn in. Now he's there for life.
Oh, God. It's really sad. It's really sad, and I've realized that the consensus is we were all expecting it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All of the, like, women in my life didn't want this to happen. A good amount of the men in my life didn't want this to happen. But it still happened.
And we knew there was no stopping it. Yeah. Everything that led up to this moment wasn't going to stop any of it. And it was terrifying.
Yeah.
And totally disheartening to watch. I had a dream that, I tweeted about it, that Kavanaugh was Kilgrave. And no one, I was like me / Jessica Jones. I don't remember how the situation worked, but all I remember was Kavanaugh was Kilgrave and no one would believe me that he was lying about everything all the time. It was a time. It was not a fun dream.
No, but I can understand how that dream happened.
Right? Yeah. Very, very timely.
Yeah. Okay. Ugh. So let's just get into it.
Yes.
I love this show.
It was really good.
And I know I've said it already, but I love this show.
I really appreciate how they did the noir detective style with all of it. It was really nice.
Even the voiceovers. The theme music was very, like, noir-y.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. I really liked it. It, like, gave you that, like, mm-hmm. feeling of... It gave you... Okay, what era is noir? Like, that's the
40s? It's supposed to be, like, 1940s, 30s. 1940s, the, like... right?
So it gave you all that 1940s feel, but, like... didn't lie about how women are treated like crap.
Yes.
You know? Like
I don't see how those are related.
No, so like what I know about noirs is that like the women in them are always like the damsels in distress and blah 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 and they don't really do much of anything except just be there for the man.
Yes.
But this was like, no, the woman's going to get stuff done and we're going to catch the bad guy and I know, like, not like I know that women are, like, but, like, you know, like, in the 1940s, people didn't really, like, acknowledge the fact that bad things were happening
to specific
groups of people, but Jessica Jones does acknowledge the fact that bad things happen to specific groups of people, specifically women in this one.
Yeah, yeah. No, okay, that now it makes sense. But, yeah, I liked how she was the hard-drinking, tough-talking noir detective was her, and that was really cool.
I really, yeah, no, Jessica Jones is a mess, though.
Yeah.
She's just a mess of a human being, and I think that's why I love her.
Yeah, because if she was too perfect or too heroic, we're going to get into the heroics of this, it would have been annoying.
Yeah, what I really like about her is that she's, like, allowed to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
She's allowed to be angry and distant and emotional, and no one is, like, blaming her for it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm, like, really thinking about it, and I don't think I didn't hear, like, a single person in this show be like, well, you're being too emotional.
No, I mean, there were times when they were like, you're too close, you should step back. But no one was... She was blamed for a few things, but never for how emotional she got.
Yeah. And yeah. I just... Yeah, it's very, like, it's a breath of fresh air to just watch something and... Mm-hmm. You know, like, Jessica Jones is not a cookie-cutter character. She's messed up. She's a little broken. Mm-hmm. She's gone through a massive trauma.
Yeah.
And, like, of course that's the way that she lives her life because of this massive trauma where she spent pretty much, like, a year with Kilgrave
mm-hmm.
controlling her every single second of the day. Making her do things that she didn't want to do, forcing mm-hmm. her to have sex with him when she didn't want to,
mm-hmm.
and then ultimately killing someone who she did not want to kill.
Yeah, she doesn't want to kill anybody, and then I appreciate her superpower is superhuman strength. So I appreciate how physical.
And she can jump really high.
I wondered if that was her superpower or if that's just like superhuman leg muscles, just like
it actually. So she can jump really high, and I think it eventually evolves into flying in the comics.
Oh, okay, nice. But I appreciated how physical she could get. Just like it wasn't like a long distance superpower, so she could. I don't know. I feel like people do that sometimes with women superheroines. You know, they don't have the fisticuffs. Type of superpowers that the heroes get. So I appreciated that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you had to get real up close with Jessica to, like, realize what kind of person she was.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, speaking of needing to get up close... This is not a good segue, but speaking of getting up close with Jessica... I need to talk about episode 4.
Yes.
which is called AKA 99 Friends. And it builds up to this amazing moment. Someone has hired Jessica to find out if their husband is cheating on them.
Which is her normal gig.
Yeah.
That's what she does as a PI.
And what really is going down is that they hired her to bring her to a specific place where they planned on killing her.
Right.
And once she shows up, she finds out the whole thing, that the husband is in there with the wife and that they have like a gun and they're going to shoot her. And you find out the reason that they're doing this is because they're blaming every single person who has powers for the events of the Avengers. Like, her mom died in that...
In the Avenger fight.
In the Avenger fight when the Chitauri rained down. And it became her mission to find every single superpowered person, personally blame them, and then kill them for doing that to them.
Yeah. Recurring theme in the MCU, but yes.
I mean, it's a theme they do well. Because yeah. People would do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know.
Finding a minority group and blaming them as the out? Who would have thought? Oh my god, where do they get this inspiration? Anyways.
Yeah. I don't know. Where does that come from? But, okay, like, I wrote this down that their argument was superheroes only clean up messes they create. And when I saw that, I was like, well, actually, whose mess was that? Whose mess was the Chitauri? Like, who brought that down, right? And then then I'm like thinking, okay, well, I guess it was Thor's mess because Loki did that. But they were beings who've been around for like a millennia.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a mess they create. Like, that just is how life works. Like, people do things. And then things happen, and then they need to fix the things that they caused. And sometimes that happens on a grand scale. Like, it's, they're mm-hmm. superheroes. Of course that's gonna happen. But, like, it's not like this is something that, like, Iron Man did, you know? Because then I can kind of understand. You're, like, just a man who decided to put on a suit, and I know, like, this hurts me a little inside, like, talking smack about Tony. But, like, you know, he's just, like, a man who put on a suit and decided to do something, and because he did that, bigger things happened.
Yeah, which is most of the Iron Man trilogy.
Yeah. But, Thor has been around for much longer, and he just, like, naturally is born with those powers, and those kind of things happen, so I'm like, your argument is false. Getting back to that scene, I love Jessica just being like, are you kidding me? You think you're the only person who's lost people, but you don't mm-hmm. see me, like, trying to kill every shitty driver out there because my parents and my brother died in a car accident. That's not mm-hmm. how you deal with your pain. You live with it and you move on.
Meanwhile, though, she's not hurting because it's a normal couple. They're not powered. They're just stupid. And meanwhile, she's just like wrecking the room that they're in, trying to scare them. And she's using all of her super strength to like fold up chairs and like chalk tape, like not normal tables, really heavy tables and stuff. Like, so
she picked up the radiator.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I was thinking of. So yeah, again, you see her be angry, you see her be absolutely enraged and super physical, but she's never violent to the people.
Yeah, she's just hurting the room.
Yeah.
And then the title from the episode comes from this, where she says, you ask me how many of us are there? There's 99 of us. Last time I checked, there's only 99 of us in New York alone. Even though she does not know that.
Yeah, she just pulled a number. It was great.
At this point, she only knows two other people with powers in New York alone.
Two?
Luke Cage and Kilgrave.
Yeah. Oh, right. I keep forgetting about Kilgrave counts.
Kilgrave does count.
The villains count.
And then she tells them to leave forever. But it's such a good moment because it not only... It kind of sets up Kilgrave's motivations too.
Mm-hmm.
Because his whole thing is that he had shitty parents, and they never taught him how to be a good person, so he never grew up to be a good person, so he just is, like, shitty because of bad parenting, which is also not a good excuse.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people have had really bad parents, so you can't say, like, a lot of people have had really bad parents, and they don't become awful human beings, so really, like, why do you do the things that you do? You're just abusing your power.
Yeah.
Because you're a terrible person.
Yeah.
I hate Kilgrave. I hate Kilgrave, like, so intrinsically, because he's very much a lot of the men you meet.
Yeah, he is one of the most believable villains. Like, Fisk from Daredevil, you can kind of, like, barely imagine, like, this crime boss in a big city, like, oh my god. But, like, you could very easily meet a Kilgrave walking down the street who says something and he expects it to happen. The only, like, movie magic is that it does.
Well, it's never happened to me, personally, but I know that many women are, like, terrified of men because they'll, like, see you on the street and then just start following you.
Yeah, that's happened to me before. It happened to me going from the movie theater, from going to the AMC Common, to Paramount.
Which is a block.
Yeah, it is a block. A whole tiny little block, and a guy followed me from there.
See,
so I started running.
Understandable. This happens to a lot of women where, like, a man will just randomly see you and decide, I'm gonna follow that girl. And then you have to do something sometimes, like, outlandish, or wait forever for them to leave so that you can just go about with your day and, like, hope that they give up.
Yeah, I've heard stories that people will walk an extra 2 or 3 blocks past their destination until they give up. People go into stores, usually is the most popular one.
Yeah.
I've had other people, like, go up to, if you're, depending where you are, like, where our college was, is they would go up to the hotel door people and be like, I need to get inside this building right now. And the door people will not be terrible people and they'll let you in. So, yeah, you can meet a Kilgrave. We do. It's terrifying.
Yeah. And but the thing about Kilgrave is that he's going to find you and he's going to just tell you to come to him.
Yeah.
You can't outrun him because he's just going to say, come over here, and you will. And then he's going to do whatever he wants with you.
Yeah.
And that's why he's so terrifying. And then something else that is, like, really telling is that the scene in the police station where he's pointing, having all of the police officers point guns at each other, he says, I may be new to love, but I know what it looks like. I've seen, like, movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's just so...
He's not wrong, really.
He's not wrong because what we see in film and TV is something that people often measure what their lives should look like.
Mm-hmm. And especially given Kilgrave's backstory of he didn't have his parents to show him how to behave in society, he relied a lot on media.
Yeah, so, like, it just was a big moment to see for me because I was like, oh my god. Like, men especially will look, and women, actually, no, but especially both, men and women will look at films and see men treating women sort of badly.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, the woman is like, oh, I do love you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Now we're together forever. And a lot of these romance movies where, like, at first the woman doesn't like the man, it's just a lot of the man going, well, I'm going to chase after you anyway, even though you said no.
Right. It's like you read Pride and Prejudice and you didn't fully pick up all of the the actual undercurrents of how to change someone's mind. You just kind of went for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I love The Notebook, but the beginning of The Notebook, Allie says no to Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, I'm gonna kill myself right now if you don't say yes to going out on a date with me. Like, he's hanging mm-hmm. from the Ferris wheel, and he's like, I'm gonna just drop from this moment, from this, like, top bar, if you don't say yes to going out on a date with me. Which is not okay, actually.
Yeah. No, that's pretty not great. I'm a fan of K-dramas, Korean dramas, and that's a whole other podcast about how terrible those are. But yeah, there are a lot of, like, normalized terrible behaviors that people think are okay.
So Kilgrave sees these behaviors and thinks, well, as long as I push and push and push Jessica, she'll start to, like, realize that she loves me.
Yeah.
Which is psycho.
It is. But he genuinely believes it.
He genuinely believes that everything that he did while they were together, in air quotes, mm-hmm. was good. Was, like, that he was treating her kindly and amazing and, like, how much they had such a good time together and blah, blah, blah. And, like, fancy dinners and
mm-hmm.
fancy hotel rooms. And Jessica's like, no, that was the worst time of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I remember every single second of it because it was awful.
Yeah. Actual prisoner.
Yeah. Stockholm Syndrome is not settling in on this one.
Yeah. That's the other thing about Kilgrave's power is it's not like, whenever he takes control of you, it's not like a fuzzy, hazy feeling. It's a you remember being controlled. That's what how it's it happens, and that's why it's always so terrible.
Yeah. But, like, David Tennant, though.
He's so good. He was a really good Kilgrave.
I remember watching this for the first time, and the only thing I'd really ever seen him in was Doctor Who.
Mm.
And to this day, he's still my favorite Doctor, but, I mean, I did stop watching after Matt Smith anyway, so I can't really... Whatever. Mm-hmm. I digress. And I knew that he was, like, a really good actor because I saw him in Doctor Who. And then I think he was just like, I'm going to do something completely different, and then went to do Kilgrave. And it was completely different. And it was so good. He was terrifying.
He truly was. Again, it's just all of these terrible things that Kilgrave did and said and believed. You really bought it because Tennant sold it so well. I haven't seen Doctor Who, so I can't even imagine what he would be like as Doctor Who.
I can't because he was such a good Kilgrave. I can't even remember like the phrasing specifically that he says that is, it's sort of Doctor Who like. Like it's some, one of like ten's phrases, because he was the 10th Doctor. And I just immediately was like, no. Why did you say that? Why did you say that? Do not ruin this for me. Which obviously it didn't, because I honestly cannot even remember what the phrase was. Yeah. But, you know. And I was like, you're so scary. Please stop. Please stop. Yeah. Oh my god, I do love him, though.
Yeah. This also had a really good cast. Oh my gosh, yeah. The main ones, at least.
Yeah, David Tennant was good. Christian Ritter is amazing. And...
Mm-hmm.
Woman who plays Trish Walker. I can't remember her name, honestly. Can't remember her
name. She was really nice. Speaking of, like, people who should be cookie cutter and aren't, I really enjoyed Trish and her character and her arc.
When you find out, like, that she really, she spends, like, most of her time, you know, fighting.
Yeah.
Like, learning how to fight using Krav Maga because it's more aggressive. She was like, yeah, it's more lethal.
Yeah.
Like, of course I would learn Krav Maga over any of the other ones, because that one's more lethal. And you're like, what? Because at first you kind of think, is she in an abusive relationship?
Oh.
Because she has, like, bruises. When you first meet her, she's bruises all over her arms. And, like, the person who works with her at her radio show was like, oh, you better cover up, because I think her bosses were coming in. Mm. And you're like, oh, my God. Like, who is this? You're kind of like, who is this woman? What's wrong? I'm a little concerned for you. And you're like, maybe, like, she's a victim of Kilgrave or something. And then, and then, like, you find out, no. Those are, like, defensive wounds from learning how to fight.
Practice bruises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
I had a question about what is the time between when Jessica got out, like, broke off from Kilgrave to the start of the show, because it sounded like...
I think it's been about a year.
About a year. Okay. Yeah. So was she not talking to Trish in that time?
She wasn't. I think it was like 4 or 6 months or something like that. It was like a really long time for them being like how close they are.
Okay, that makes sense.
And like, it's because, you know, Jessica couldn't deal with her trauma, and she didn't know how to like be close to anyone anymore, and especially to Trish, who, like, she knows isn't perfect, but is, like, a better person in comparison to Jessica, which is not true, but...
Yeah, it's a lot of guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Trish is not just her longtime friend, she's kind of her adopted sister.
Yeah.
Longtime friend, who's... She was, like, a child star, which I was always entertained by just, like, how many times they just kind of threw that in.
It's Patsy! It's Patsy! I really wanna be your friend.
And then all the times then you found out how tragic that was, because her momager
was awful.
Yeah. So, I really liked Trisha's story, because you see just this pretty blonde woman on this, like, side of a New York City bus, and you know that she's, like, gonna be important, but I didn't think she would have that much depth.
Yeah, but this is what happens when women are actually writing about women, is that we get characters that we enjoy because they're well thought out and they're strong. And I don't mean strong by, like, physically strong. I mean strong by their three-dimensional characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, yeah. I have a bone to... Whenever people are like, I want a strong character or a strong female character, I feel like male writers are just like, all right, here's this person who knows how to shoot a gun. And I'm like, that's not what I meant.
Right? Like, oh, you want strong? Here's Black Widow punching somebody. It's like, not like that.
I was like, that's still just a two-dimensional character who mm-hmm. can fight. Mm-hmm. I just hit my headphones. Give me more! But speaking of other strong women in this, Jerry Hogarth.
That she is a doozy. I had no idea how to feel about her in any scene.
So Jerry Hogarth, I learned in the comic books, is a man. And they decided just to make the character exactly the same, but a woman.
Respect. Because that is the main thing I felt for the... Jerry Hogarth is the lawyer who she pops in and out, and she's very important. But I respected her until later. But yeah, she was a doozy. It was fun.
I remember once seeing this, I think it was like a Mike.com article that was like, this sassy character from Jessica Jones, blah, blah, blah. And I looked at it and I was like, did you just call Jerry Hogarth sassy?
Oh my God. What?
Like, that is not a word that I would ever associate with that woman. But anyway. Yeah. I'm also really glad that they didn't change, like, her sexuality. They were like, we're going to make it a woman, but we're also going to still make her, like, if she's a woman, she's still attracted to women.
Yeah, she's gay.
Yeah, super gay. Super lesbian.
That was awesome. She was really well written. I liked that they made her, made her a woman.
But she's, like, a terrible human being. Oh, truly. A terrible human being. I hate her so much. Like, I love her as a character, but I hate her so much as a person because she does absolutely heinous things. She finds out about Kilgrave and goes, like, things like, oh, he just wanted a nice jacket and the smile of a woman and... like, he's wasting his powers. And Jessica's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, this man is a monster. And all she's thinking about is, oh, I could probably win a lot of cases with this guy.
But to be fair, I'm sure that she's not the, in the audience at least, for the only person who'd be like, Hogarth says that. It was like, oh, if he were on our side, we could use him for good type things. And that's when Jessica's like, no, this ability isn't, who's your side?
Yeah.
Kilgrave isn't good. Like, these powers aren't good. They're not ethical.
No, but she only says that, like, if he were on our side to, like, cover her tracks. That scene that you're talking about, like, the way that she says it is, like, it's very clear that she's not saying it to be like, oh, well...
he could be a hero.
No, yeah, like, he could be a hero, or those powers could have made, like, that could be a good thing. But she's like, oh my God, like, this could be great for my pockets. Like, that's what she's thinking about more than anything else.
Yeah, foreshadowing.
Oh, foreshadowing. She also is thinking about how he could help her with her divorce to her wife, who is actually, like, a really great human being. I don't understand how they could have ever happened, you know?
Right? Like, that. There's a backstory there. There's a very interesting gay backstory there.
I mean, her wife does say, it was because you were a jerk to everyone else, but you were kind to me. And then all of a sudden, she was no longer being kind because the younger, newer model showed up at her office. I honestly have nothing to say bad. Like, nothing bad to say about Pam, other than sleeping with, like, a married woman. Nothing bad to say about Pam.
Yeah, Pam was interesting. She was more than just, like, the ditzy mistress.
Oh my God, she, like, was very intelligent.
She felt bad for Wendy is Hogarth's ex-wife. She felt bad for her. Not enough to leave her wife, but she did feel bad for her.
Well, because when they show up at this restaurant and Wendy's like, no, you can't bring her here. And Jerry's like, you can't like, take over every restaurant we've ever been to. And when she's like, well... at least not the one you proposed to me into. And Pam is like, what? No, are you kidding me? We can't come to this restaurant. You proposed to her here? That's sick, Jerry. And then they leave because Pam's like, I'm not eating in there if you propose to her in there. Like, are you kidding me? Which is why I think Pam is a good person.
Yeah, that's how you know
the first time. You also know that she's a good person because at the end of the series...
After Jerry does the worst.
After Jerry does the worst, you know, breaking Kilgrave out of the hermetically sealed cage.
Yeah.
Which, stupid move, anyway. He takes her, he's like, bring me to the one, like, a doctor you trust. And she freaking takes him to Wendy. And then Kilgrave forces Wendy to get her revenge on Jerry by, like, death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah, which is an offhand remark Wendy says.
Yeah.
Because I think he's just talking to her for whatever reason, and she says...
How do you get revenge by a thousand cuts, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's like, all right, do it. Revenge by a thousand cuts. Get it right now. And so she's literally counting off. Yeah, she's literally counting off. And then Pam shows up and knocks Wendy over and kills her.
Yeah, I was sad to see Wendy die.
Which is self-defense. And I was like, really sad to see. I was like, oh, no. Like, Jerry can't just get off easy like this. Because I kind of expected Pam to be like, all right, well, like, we can get... Not like we can get married now, but because that was a traumatic thing.
Yeah.
But she was like, nope, you're a terrible person. We're not doing this. You brought Kilgrave to your house to get her to sign the papers, the divorce papers, because she's not been, like, cooperative.
Yeah.
You're a terrible person. I need a new lawyer. I don't know this woman. So that's why I like Pam.
Mm-hmm. So we mentioned him briefly way in the beginning, but I did not realize this series was kind of almost co-starring Luke Cage. I thought he would just be like a fun cameo. And I knew you told me that they get together in the comics and then later, but I didn't realize how prominent Luke was in the series.
They're married until, like, episode two. They're married in the comics.
Right.
And, like, the whole thing is that woman that Kilgrave forced her Jessica to kill was Reva, who is Luke's wife.
Right.
And Luke has been trying to find out what really happened, because he didn't think that it was, like, just an accident.
Yeah. Because it looked like... Yeah, it looked like Reva was hit by a bus. Three people know that that's not the case. Luke, Kilgrave, and Jessica.
Oh. Yeah. I was like, the bus driver? yes. Luke, Kilgrave, and Jessica. But Luke doesn't know that Kilgrave and Jessica were there.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked Luke in this season. Like, he's a very good character, and it gets you really excited for when Luke Cage comes out.
Yeah.
Because he's a very good character. And I love the whole dynamic, because it's clear that they're both, like, really drawn to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But Jessica kind of, like, severs that, because she tells him the truth.
Yeah. There's a lot of guilt.
There is a lot of guilt. And, like, really, how do you tell someone that you killed their wife because someone mind-controlled you into killing their wife?
Before you knew it was... Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is a messy situation, and I don't believe Jessica handled it well, but I don't know what is the proper way to handle it.
No, what would be the proper way to handle it? I mean, definitely don't sleep with the person.
Yeah, don't sleep with them multiple times.
Before telling them the truth.
I just started skipping their sex scenes after a while.
It was a lot. It was a lot. I was like, all right, broke something.
That was funny, because Luke, superhero as well.
Super strong. They're both super strong. They always broke the bed or, you know, the apartment.
Yeah. So I was like, I was entertained by that. But after a while, it's just like, I get it. They're having sex. And I just, like, skimmed.
But, you know, just don't sleep with the husband of the woman that you killed before telling them that you killed them. Wife, you know?
Yeah.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Maybe explain what happened first and then do it. But that is kind of why Jessica calls herself a piece of shit.
Yeah, which that's a pretty shitty thing to do.
It is. So it is.
She kind of makes up for it. She works on making up for it. I don't know. I'll see season two and Luke Cage in the meantime.
Yeah. I do. It's just such a good, it's a good dynamic, and really like it. And I remember being so disappointed when you realize when he, like, forgives her, it was actually just Kilgrave saying, tell her that you forgive her. And you're like, well, then what does Luke really think?
Mm-hmm. Which is why, because in the end, Kilgrave gets his hands on Luke, which is very dangerous for many reasons.
Very dangerous.
It's really bad. So when he's yelling at her, of just like, how do you think, you thought, how could I ever forgive you? You killed my wife. Was that him? Or was that Kilgrave? I don't know.
Right? But I feel like he does forgive her, because the first thing she did, like, not she did, the first thing he did when he woke up in her apartment after he was, you know, shot by Jessica, was, like, go off to save her.
Right. I think now that he was under Kilgrave's control, he understands more of, like, what that happened, how her situation came about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of their final fight, and I was texting Sabrina this, and we can tweet us what you think. Is Luke equal in strength to Jessica? Because for some reason I thought Jessica was stronger. And then, like, once she was kind of hurt, she was already weak in that fight. So I was just wondering who was, like, technically superhuman stronger.
I mean, I think they both have equal strength. I actually think they both have an equal strength.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if, like, one has more skill than the other in fighting, which is why, I don't know, one looks like they're getting the upper hand at times. But yeah. Luke does have a huge added advantage of things not actually hurting him.
So that was the other thing. So it's not that he doesn't have, like, nerves there. It's just, you can't break it. It's not just impenetrable.
Right? Yeah, you can't break it.
Because, like, if he gets hit with a baseball bat, it's not going to break his skin, but it's still going to hurt.
It's going to break the bat, though.
Yeah, that's true.
It's going to break the bat. So there's that. So that's, like, what I think, is that if Luke appears to be stronger, it's because things don't hurt him the same way they hurt Jessica. Like, she's going to bleed. He's not.
Yeah, that makes sense. And also Jessica is holding back in that fight, too, because
she doesn't want to hurt him. She doesn't actually want to hurt him. And then that's... I do like the moments where he does kind of break through, where he's like, do what you gotta do, because she's pointing a shotgun at him.
Yeah.
And is like, please don't make me do this. Fight it. Like, you're stronger than me. Don't make me do this. And he's looking down at her going, like, do what you gotta do, and she shoots him.
Yeah. She knows it won't break skin, but it's the only way she can figure out how to get him unconscious.
Well, because it'll hurt him...
internally.
Yeah.
It'll rock his head.
Yeah, get him out. Like, it'll knock him out.
Yeah.
Well enough. Which also leads us to Claire, my fave.
I liked her. Because I skipped her episodes in Daredevil, I really liked seeing her in Jessica Jones. I'm going to go back and rewatch Daredevil.
Don't worry, audience. It's so good.
But I enjoyed Claire.
I love Claire. Like, I was waiting for the connection, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first time I was watching, I was like, all right, so, like, when does it happen? When does she come? Like, who? Not she specifically, but I was like,
when
are they going to bring up Daredevil? When are they going to do it? Because, like, I need the connection. I need some sort of connectivity. They're in the same freaking neighborhood. Tell me what happens.
This is a terrible time to live in Hell's Kitchen. When you said they were all in New York, I was like, okay, things happen in the entirety of, like, Manhattan. And then they're like, oh no, this is all in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah. I mean, at least specifically for Jessica Jones, it's not as, like, citywide. It affects a certain amount of people, which is still a lot. It's still a lot. The people who come into contact with Kilgrave are a lot
of people.
But it's not quite as systemic as the villain in Daredevil.
Yeah. But yeah. We have our Daredevil tie-in with Claire.
With Claire, and it made me so happy. And when, like, Jessica was like, what, do you know people like me? And she's like, actually, yeah. What, unconscious and bleeding? Most of the time, yeah. More often than not, he's unconscious and bleeding. Like, maybe I should give you his number.
I did like that. And she was like, you know, I can get a hold of him. I'm sure he would help. And then Jessica's like, no, it's okay. And I was like,
Can you imagine, though, Matt under Kilgrave's spell? Actually, no, never mind. I looked this up because I was curious. I was wondering if Kilgrave can affect deaf people.
Okay, we're going to get into this. Yeah.
So I was wondering if Kilgrave could affect deaf people. And the answer was mixed. Because... Kilgrave doesn't solely operate on you being able to hear him. He releases a pheromone as well.
Oh, yeah, his parents kind of explained this.
Yeah, so he releases, like, some pheromones as well, which is kind of why headphones wouldn't work. We were arguing about this earlier. Sorry. Which is kind of why headphones might not work, because, like, his pheromones would release the, like, compulsion of it.
Yeah.
and that only certain people can resist his, like, spell, which is Jessica Jones and Daredevil. Right. Like, people with strong enough wills can resist him, and Daredevil has a strong enough will to resist him.
Oh, interesting.
At least, which is what happened in my research.
Okay, because I was also thinking, like, with his super sensitive hearing, what if he was, like, sitting on a rooftop 3 blocks away and he heard Kilgrave?
Well, but he also has a radius. Remember, goes to the concert hall. He can turn it up or
down, yeah.
He goes to the concert hall, and he can only affect people, like, 80 feet from him, and the people, like, way in the nosebleed stands were like, get off the stage, asshole, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
He has a radius, which is time and distance.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the last couple episodes is him making his father make those two things bigger, like,
yeah,
and extend farther so that he can control Jessica.
So it's probably a good thing Matt Murdock didn't get involved.
No, I mean, the thing is that I always want connection, but I never really, I love crossovers, which is why when we get to the Defenders, I'm gonna get excited. But, yeah. I like connections, but not overbearing crossover.
That makes sense, because then at that point, everything would have just been Defenders. It wouldn't have been Jessica Jones.
Yeah, and then I'm like, stop. Like, I want this to be about Jessica Jones defeating her abuser, which she does in the best way possible. Oh my god, let's just get into it, because it makes me happy.
All right, the finale, let's go.
Finale. Finale comes, it's amazing.
Yeah.
She works with Trish to get to Kilgrave. Like, they find how he's, like, trying to set her up, and they get Trish in with headphones blaring really loud music, hoodie up, head down, so that, like, she doesn't even see Kilgrave.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's all of these police surrounding her. She takes off her hoodie, and Kilgrave just goes, oh, it's Patsy! Which makes me happy. I just love... I love that. It's just... It's really funny. Like, oh, it's Patsy! Like a petulant child.
Yep.
And then, like, Jessica finds him, and, like, they start running to the boat, because he, like, is stealing a boat from the person he's been taking over their house for. I don't know. Yeah. That wasn't English that I just said. I don't know. they're stealing a boat, whatever. And he's got hordes of people, not hordes, like a horde of people, ready to do whatever he says to stop Jessica from doing anything to him.
Getting to him.
Yeah. And she tricks him into thinking that he still has control over her.
Because that's all he wants.
That's all he wants.
That's what he's been waiting for, is to get control back.
And the the way that she does it is to resist punching him in the face when, or like just going right at him, when he tells Trish to go over to him, kiss him, and get on the boat. And when he's like, oh my god, you're letting this happen.
Yeah.
That's when he's like, oh my god, I can control you again. And he goes right up to her, and he says, tell me you love me.
He does some other smaller tricks, too. Because he makes honest questions, and then smile.
Yeah. Smile.
Mm-hmm. You don't... It's part of, like, Jessica's thing, and just, like, the, you know, hard-drinking PI. She doesn't smile. She doesn't smile.
She also doesn't say, I love you. Earlier in the episode, she, like, Trish is like, well, how would I know that you're not Kilgraved? And she says, I'll say something that I would never say. How about, I love you? Because I would never say that. And so after Kilgrave's little tests, and he says, tell me you love me, Jessica moves her eyeline to Trish, says, I love you, grabs Kilgrave by the throat, and twists his neck.
Yeah. Which, as far as graphic things go, I was actually, I was here for that one. I was like, okay, good.
The reason why I love this scene so much is that usually in stuff like this, you know, especially with, like, if we're going to compare, like, characters like Matt Murdock, they're not going to kill anyone. They're going to be like, even though this person did a very heinous act against me, I'm bigger than them and I'm not going to kill anyone.
Which was something Jessica struggled with. Not just Jessica, a lot of people who were fighting Kilgrave came up against, of this guy is safe or dead, and then they kept him alive for reasons in the show, and then now here we are.
Well, Jessica always wanted to keep him alive so that Hope would be released from prison.
Yes.
Then Kilgrave pulls strings to release Hope from prison. Completely above board, although it's all, like, manipulated.
Right.
And she's released from prison, and then Hope kills herself so that Jessica no longer has Hope as, like, a crutch.
Right.
Because Hope knew, as long as she was alive and still, like,
yeah,
you know, like this was happening to her, then Jessica would never kill Kilgrave.
Right.
So she, like, breaks a glass and sticks it in her throat, which was kind of gross.
Yeah, I skimmed that. I saw it happen. I was like, oh, yeah, I can't unsee that.
So that's kind of when Jessica was like, I'm done. I have no reason to keep you alive now. And that, yep. And that's what was so refreshing about it, was that there was, like, when the moment came right down to it, there was no internal, like, internal fighting about, mm-hmm. should I do it, should I not do it? And I honestly don't even think that Jessica was having that internal argument with herself about doing it or not doing it. She wanted to make sure that Hope could get out, but she also mm-hmm. wanted Kilgrave dead. She just wanted to prioritize getting Hope out because she was innocent in all of this as well. And then, like, that's why there was no arguing with herself about killing Kilgrave at the end of the episode, which I loved. I just love that she was like, you're a terrible human being. You don't deserve to be alive. I'm going to kill you.
But she did it in a more, I don't want to say just, but not as, like, crazy revenge-filled way as the dumb blonde one. What was his name?
Simpson.
He also was out to... He was the one cast member. I didn't like him as a character, and I didn't really like his actor that much either.
Well, because he's kind of like nice guy TM.
He is. So whenever he was Kilgraved, and then he got released, and so on and so forth, and now he was on, like, good guy side, he wanted Kilgrave dead from the beginning, no matter what, but it was just from such a darker place. So that's why it was the two people who want Kilgrave dead who had better intentions.
Well, for him, it was like, consequences be damned. I don't care if someone dies on my way to killing Kilgrave. Like, I will take on... Like, when she was in the house with him and he planted that bomb,
mm-hmm.
he was like, I don't care that there are innocent people in this house. We need to kill this guy. We need to kill him. Also, other great scene was when they were in the house together. And Jessica was like, you raped me.
Mm.
And you could see the shock in Kilgrave's face. He was like, are you kidding me? I never raped you. And Jessica was very adamant, like, no, you raped me every single day. Not only my body, but my mind. I couldn't do mm-hmm. anything that you didn't want me to do. Which, such a good scene. Such a good
scene. Which I can only imagine how hard that scene was to act.
Yeah. But Kristen Ritter did such a good job. I love her.
Yeah, she really did such a good job in this role.
I've seen her in other things, and I've never, like, super been a fan of her. Like, not that I've not liked her, but I've never, like, mm-hmm. loved her.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
after watching Jessica Jones, I was like, I love you.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was the thing that I needed to see her in that made me be like, I stan forever. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Simpson was... no consequences, and Jessica actually thought about her consequences, and that's what made it different.
Yeah.
In the end.
I'm like, Simpson's just a piece of shit. I don't like him.
Yeah.
I don't like him. He's like, he's just kind of there. I like that, like, it gave Trish a person to, like, I don't know, mm-hmm. be with for a little bit, but...
Yeah.
She was very adamantly like, no, this is just for fun. Like, she never really wanted anything serious with him. And if it, like, started to turn into something serious, it never really got to a place where she genuinely, like, loved him or anything. She's like, I like you, I trust you, but...
Right.
Shut up and stay out of mine and Jessica's way. This doesn't involve you.
Yeah, and then he just kept getting involved. He's not really important except for some of the build-up to season two.
Yeah, like, the company that... funds the drugs, the, like, enhancement drugs that he takes, also funded Jessica's bills when she got into the car accident.
Right.
And so, and we find this out because Trish's mom is like, well, these are the people that paid Jessica's bills, and I thought they were just, like, doing it as some write-off. like mm-hmm. charity write-off. And Trish is like, are you kidding me? Like, you've had this all this time and you never told us? So it's really like laying the groundwork for next season. But also very quickly, the other scene I really like is Kilgrave is very much like, it's all about your, like, trying to convince Jessica to choose him. And he was right. like, for 18 seconds, you did choose me. There's a scene where he's like, 18 seconds, you chose me. And yeah. Jessica's like, no, I never chose you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just not fast enough. Like, he, mm-hmm. it had been 12 hours. She was, like, out on a balcony. He went inside. And she nearly jumped off the freaking building to run away from him. But while she was standing on the ledge, he called her in and then almost made her cut her ear off. I just really liked that scene. I loved when, like, Jessica got that chance to be emotional and, like, yell and do that kind of thing.
To his face. Not just about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was also, I thought that was a really good scene because the way that Kilgrave remember it and just, like, hung on to this forever, and he got it wrong, and he didn't realize he got it wrong.
Well, he's the master of gaslighting, and, like, the only reason he realized he got it wrong is because she still has the scar.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But also other pieces of shit. The upstairs neighbor, Robin.
Yeah, she was annoying.
Every time she opened her mouth, I wanted to punch her in the face, because she's one of those people that just, like, refuses to, like, accept reality.
Yeah, she was another side character that I skimmed over. But I loved Malcolm. I'm glad he was around in the finale.
No, Malcolm is a good character.
He was so sweet. I was really sad whenever it was revealed he was a Kilgrave spy for a little bit. But I really liked him as a character and his relationship with Jessica.
Yeah, he's a very good character. I love him. And he's in season 2 as well.
Oh, good. He looked like he was starting to, like, help the PI business, so I'm glad he's around.
Yeah. Truly, nothing is more Jessica Jones than charging her phone, realizing she's got all of these messages from people who want her help, and her just deleting them all. So, there's that. And then she, like, and then it just fades to black.
Yeah. As Malcolm picks up and is like, how can we help you? And I was like, oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah.
this is good. I like that.
Jessica Jones. Just such a good show.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm getting back to them now.
Yeah.
I'm glad there's going to be a reason to get back to them.
Because, honestly, I was really surprised when you had said you hadn't seen it.
Because I heard so much about the violence of Daredevil, and then
completely different shows.
No, I'm not one for violence and sex. And then when I heard a lot of Jessica Jones was based off of, like, of Survivor's story, I assumed it would be, like, gratuitous rape scenes. Because apparently, like, Netflix loved those. So that's why I skipped it. And then by the time Luke Cage came around, I was like, well, I already missed the first two. Here we go. So that's how I just missed all of the Defenders.
That's sad.
But we're here now. I'll go back and watch Daredevil.
I mean, it's so good. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. But that's it, right?
Well, did you want to... The only thing I think we missed out on is you wanted to talk about how Kilgrave's insistence on making women smile?
Oh, God. It just... Yeah. Oh, right. I forgot. Kilgrave is the man who asks you to smile when you're being catcalled. It's just, like, something quick, you know? Like, my best friend when I was living in Boston was my headphones, because then I couldn't hear people telling me to smile. People. I'm saying people. I mean men.
That's one of those things that, like, maybe to you, men, it doesn't sound like a terrible thing, because, like, yeah, there are worse catcalls, but it's small and annoying, and, like, why do you expect that from women? What have you, like, what about you is so great that we should just smile upon seeing you? Like, you're not special. Go away.
Yeah.
So the fact that Kilgrave's whole thing about forcing women to smile, there's some commentary in that.
There is, and it's used against him. That's, like, what Jessica mm-hmm. tells him to smile right before he kills her, or she kills him, which is, I loved it. That's yeah. The episode is called AKA Smile. It's very good. It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Anyway, watch the show. It's really good. That's all I can say about it is that I love it and it's really good. And the characters are all three-dimensional and amazing. And the women are all different in their own ways and mm-hmm. strong because they're written well and not strong because they're just physically strong. Just very good. Get to mm-hmm. it. It's a great show with great commentary and not gratuitous at all.
Yeah, I would agree. Even there's one like very bad violence scene that I knew existed. It was the blender. So I was on edge. And then when it happened, you didn't even see it. I was like, oh, this is what I was so scared about.
It's actually like a severed arm being blended. It's not even like someone physically putting their arm in the blender.
Oh, I thought that's what Kilgrave made his dad do.
He made his dad go right up to the needle, blades, and then took him out. And then the two poor gay men that live in that apartment.
They have to dismember the body.
Yeah, they have to dismember the body and erase him from the earth. And so their way of doing it was blending him down.
Yeah. So I will say that, it's not violent. It's not gratuitous. It's not graphic. I survived it.
So you can too.
Yep.
Okay. We'll be with you till the end of the line. Next week we're talking about Ant-Man and
getting back to the movies.
And that will be the end of phase two.
Which is wild.
Wild. We've been doing this for a while now, Lily.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. But you can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo and follow the podcast at EMFangirls and check out our website, earthsmightiestfangirls.com.
Yay. Thanks to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland, and thanks to us for editing and producing.
I always feel the need to say something.